Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
And for 7 years, David, with all his heart, serves Saul. And he is successful in the time that he spends there working for Saul. So successful, in fact, that Saul begins to resent him. And that resentment, because David is successful in everything he does and touches, because the Holy Spirit is with him.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, Truth Seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
God bless you, Truth Seekers, and thank you, Brother Corey, for that introduction. And we are off. I'm hoping that you've come today with an expectation to hear from the Lord and not from David Markham. Now, I don't guess you can get past having to hear my voice being the one that's teaching, but I pray that you hear much more than me. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will take over at this very moment and we begin to receive from the very heart of God exactly what He would have you and I receive today. And I need a moment with the Lord just as much as anybody does. So let's pray. Let's ask God Almighty to take over and to anoint this time. It's my prayer, and I haven't said this in a while, but it is my prayer through this radio program that this is the most anointed 30 minutes on the air. And I realize that that may sound very presumptuous, but I do not mean it in any way for the benefit of myself. I desire for the Holy Spirit to offer a deluge of His presence in these radio broadcasts, because I know that there are people all around the world that are listening for some hope and for some real and right teaching, and David Markham's not good enough or smart enough to do that. But if God Almighty will take over, and He will anoint this time with His power, then lives can be changed in a way that no man can author. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that exactly that would happen, that You would take over, that You would anoint this time with Your power and Your presence, with Your Holy Spirit, and that everyone that listens to this, whenever they get to listen to it, God, would meet with You and would find You speaking to their very heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in the last few weeks we've been discussing and touching on something that is very applicable across the board. Doesn't matter what stage of your Christian walk you may be in, whether you're just starting or you are, you know, somewhere down the road and find yourself growing as a Christian man or woman, boy or girl, teenager, or whether you've been doing this for many, many years and you're a seasoned citizen when it comes to the things of God. I'm no scholar, and I want you to know that. I'm in this process too, and I want you to know that I believe that all of us are going through the process. If you're a child of God today, no matter where you are and how many years you've been doing this, you have been placed into a process called sanctification. And your process is not necessarily different than mine. God's going to do different things for me and to me and through me, because I'm built and wired differently than you. But the end result and the goal of what God is working on here is the same for me as it is for you. He is predestined for those that He has called that we would be conformed into the image of His Son. And if you were with us last week, at the end of last week, we spoke about the fact that God is in a process, much like a goldsmith takes a chunk of ore and refines it and purifies it into perfect and pure gold. He is taking the impurities out of you and I with the express purpose of, when He is finished, of being able to look down into our lives and see the perfect reflection of His Son staring back up at Him. And this process is called sanctification. That's a big theological term, but here's basically all it means. God has taken us through one step and one purpose at one step and one point at a time, to pull the weeds out of our lives and to plant the seeds in our lives that are going to eventually bring us to a place where we look and act and think like Jesus Christ. A little bit more here, a little bit more there, line upon line, precept upon precept. He is teaching us His will and His way and turning us slowly into His Son. It's the sanctification process. You and I are all going through it. And what we've discussed in the last 3 weeks, this being the fourth week of this series, is this fact that one of God's favorite tools that He employs for turning us into Christ is to bring us through difficult and trying times that we are discussing and labeling as wilderness times. And it's all through the Word of God. In fact, there's a scripture in Mark chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 that I want to refer to again that lets us know that even Jesus went through wilderness times. It says in those verses, immediately the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness, and He was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to Him. Doesn't sound like a comfortable time to me, does it to you? Jesus went through some hard moments. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to become sanctified. He was perfectly walking and talking the will of God. But even Jesus had some times where there were some important things at the hand of the Holy Spirit that had to be accomplished in His life, and the Spirit drove Him into the wilderness to see those things accomplished. But we're going through this sanctification process, and oftentimes, child of God, truth seeker, you're going to find yourself in the wilderness. It won't be by mistake. It won't be because you have messed up enough that God had to throw you into hard times. It will be very purposeful, and in a very loving, purposeful time, He will set you in the middle of struggle. And I want you to know that those moments of struggle, they're predestined. He's chosen them for you. They are powerful. Because it's God's work that is at hand, and God doesn't do anything lackadaisical or half-heartedly. It's power. When God's involved, it's power. And I want to say this too. Let's be real. Those wilderness times are painful. They're painful. You know, surgery is never comfortable. When a surgeon determines that he has to remove something from your body that is a detriment to your life, that is a diseased area, perhaps it's a tumor or some organ that is just not working and functioning anymore, and you've got to have surgery to get well. Well, even though you're going to be well on the backside of it, the surgical process is a painful process. It's a cutting process. It's a process of removing, and it's difficult, and it brings soreness and pain, but it's necessary. It's necessary. And it's part of the Christian walk. And we don't explain that very much to our young and new Christians. And shame on us, because it is guaranteed to be a process that we will go through. You know, there's an unknown author that penned some words that relates to exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to read this poem to you. It's one of my favorite illustrations and sermons. It's one of my very favorite poems, and we don't know who wrote this, but they knew what they were talking about. Listen to these words. The author writes, "When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man, that all the world might be amazed. Watch His methods. Watch His ways. How He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects. How He hammers and He hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay that only God understands. While His heart is tortured and crying, and He lifts beseeching hands. How He bends but never breaks. When His good He undertakes, how He uses whom He chooses, and with mighty acts induces Him to try His splendor out. God knows what He's about." It's an amazing bit of thought that went into that, and amazingly true. God prearranges and ordains times of struggle and difficulty, and His sole purpose in doing it is to try us and to mold us and to make us and to shape us in order that He might eventually use us. And the author of that poem, the lines that really grab a hold of my heart is this: how He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects. How He hammers and He hurts them and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay that only God understands. You see, God's got purpose in what He's about. And you and I don't always fit the bill of exactly what He wants that man or that woman of God to look like in that moment that He is predestined for us. You see, in order to get us to a place where He can use us, He's got to put us through the process to turn us into the type of tool that He needs. And I think back to a verse we looked at last week, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, when Peter said, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God is wanting to reveal Christ through our lives. And many times in the Bible, these times of trial take place in the wilderness. I want to take a few moments, and we may get through with this in today's program, and we may not, but hey, we've always got next week unless the Lord comes and gets us, and then we won't need next week, will we? Amen. But for the next few minutes today, I want to take some time to bring out a few truths about these wilderness times, because I believe the value of the wilderness cannot be overstated. And the first valuable thing about the wilderness I want to show you today is this: the wilderness is a place of transition and of change. Here's something that is quite obvious, and you've experienced this and so have I in many different ways. To transition from a place of comfort into some place of unknown is very stressful. When you are nicely tucked in and comfortable in the rut that you have wallowed out for yourself, when you're in a place that you understand and you know and you're used to and you're comfortable, it is difficult to transition and move your life into an area that is a big question mark. And in fact, most of the time, in order to get from a place that we have found ourselves comfortable into a place that is unknown and uncharted territory, we more or less have to be blasted out of our rut. That is just humanity. That is just mankind. That's the way that we are most of the time. We have to be moved out of those places. We don't usually go voluntarily. True change does not come without discomfort and oftentimes with pain. And the reason why most of the time that true change is discomforting and is painful is because most of the time what's got to change is our heart. Our flesh has to change. And as I referred to the surgery a minute ago, I referred to the same concept. Dying flesh is painful. And I'm an RN. A lot of you may not realize that, but I have a degree in nursing. I've got a bachelor's degree, but you don't have to have a degree in a medical field to understand that if you're a living, breathing human being and you've got a part of your flesh that is painful, that is dying, that is necrotic and is actually dying, it comes with great, searing, and difficult pain, and dead flesh has to be cut away. It has to be removed. God has to remove this flesh because it is our flesh that is getting in His way, and it gets in our way of becoming Christ-like. The I has got to die. The flesh part of David Markham has to go. And if you want to be honest with me and with God today, truth seeker, the flesh has to die in you too. And when God starts to kill a part of us that's got to go, it's going to be a painful process. But to transition us and move us into a place that He knows is a better place, a more Christ-like place, The change has got to come. King David is a biblical example of that. 15 years old, there comes a knock at Jesse's door, and the prophet Samuel is standing there, and God has sent Samuel to the home of Jesse for a reason. He's there to anoint the new king of Israel. And Jesse's got a whole bunch of sons. Bring me your sons. And he lines them up from oldest to youngest, right? Samuel goes down the line. Nope, that's not him. Comes to the next one, and the Spirit does not confirm that that's the one. Nope, that's not him. And he walks through all of these sons that Jesse's lined up before him, and the Spirit of God does not give Samuel the liberty of anointing a king. And he says, there's got to be another one. Is there another one? Oh, yeah, there's David, the youngest. He's the young ruddy guy. He's the one that's out in the field watching over the sheep. Samuel says, well, bring him in, man. David brings him in, and the Spirit of God bears witness with David, and Samuel anoints him king. Now, I want you to hear what happened. Samuel anointed him king. A young man, we think he's probably 15 years old when he is anointed the king of Israel, thus saith the Lord. But listen to me. It is not for 15 more years before David sits down on the throne. At 15 years old, he's anointed king by God himself through the prophet Samuel, but it's not until he's 30 that he assumes the throne and begins to reign and rule over the people of Israel for God Almighty. For 15 years, seven of those years, he worked in and out of the palace itself. Saul is sitting on the throne that David has been anointed for. And for 7 years, David, with all his heart, serves Saul. And he is successful in the time that he spends there working for Saul. So successful, in fact, that Saul begins to resent him. And that resentment, because David is successful in everything he does and touches, because the Holy Spirit is with him. And the people begin to recognize God in David. And they begin to fall in love with this man who is anointed king, but has not yet assumed the kingly place. Saul is still there, and Saul begins to resent him, and resentment becomes hatred. And two times in the very throne room that David has been anointed to sit in, Saul throws a spear at him and attempts to kill him, tries to commit homicide two times, and finally David has to run for his life from the presence of Saul, the anointed king of Israel, running for his life. And for the next 8 years, he lives on the run. Four of those years, he's hunted like a dog, like Saul, like a common criminal through the hillside and the countryside of Judea as Saul is looking for him to try to kill him. And for 4 years after that, he's living like a refugee in foreign lands. Most of that time, he's in the lands of Israel's very enemy, the anointed king. For 15 years has a wilderness experience. And when he's around the age of 30, he is finally brought back into Jerusalem and assumes the throne. And during the wilderness years, truth seeker, an amazing thing happened. David learned how to live like a king. He was anointed to be the king at 15. But had no business attempting to do that yet. He had no idea how to live like the king. You see, he needed 15 years in the wilderness to learn the patience of a king, to learn the wisdom of a king, the leadership of a king. He did not know how to be God's king until he had spent the time in the wilderness. And I know some of you right now, where you are sitting and listening to my voice at this very moment, you are struggling. You are on the verge of giving up because some period of time ago, God gave you a vision and a dream, and He gave you a calling, and He put something on you. He gave you a glimpse of what He wanted you to be, and you've been struggling ever since. And you can't make heads or tails of what happened. You saw a glimpse and you had something in your heart that was birthed that said, you're going to do this for the Lord or do that for the Lord. He gave you a vision of a ministry perhaps or a certain calling where you were going to reach out to certain people. And he's given you a hope for that and he's given you a dream for that. And you seem to have some giftings in you that would bring you to a place where you could do that certain thing. But ever since God gave you that vision, and ever since God gave you the dream and you struck out to become this or that for the Lord, it's been difficult and struggle and trial and wilderness ever since. And you just about come to a place where you're ready to give up. Well, don't you do it. Because I'm here to let you know something this morning. God may just be taking you through some stuff to help you learn to live like the kind of person he gave you the vision that you would be some time ago. God's got to take us through wilderness sometimes to transition and to change us into that which he has determined we will be to use us for what he has called us to become. I don't know if you're a blacksmith. I'm not a blacksmith. I really don't know a lot about blacksmithing. I couldn't do it if you asked me to, but I know enough about it to draw an illustration out. The goal of a blacksmith at any given time is to take a piece of metal, cold, hard piece of steel, and through the processes and what he is good at, his skill applied to that steel, his goal is to transition it and to change it into a usable tool. And the blacksmith looks at the piece of cold, hard metal, and he already envisions in his mind what the end result is going to be. And then the processing begins, and he accomplishes turning that metal and that steel into that usable tool. He accomplishes this by high heat and pounding pressure, doesn't he? He takes that piece of steel and he puts it in the furnace. Oh, he's got it cranked up to high heats. And when he finally pulls it back out, it's glowing red hot. And he takes that hot piece of steel and he places it on his anvil and it begins to beat and bang and pound on it with his hammer. And directly after he's banged on it and to the point that it's beginning to take a different shape, he'll stick it into water and cool it down for a second just to stick it back into that amazingly hot furnace again and melt it down again and bring it back out and beat and bang on it some more. And he puts it in the water and he puts it back in the furnace and beats and bangs on it some more. And all the while, that piece of steel is changing and it's growing and it's forming into exactly what the blacksmith had in mind all along, and eventually what he has in his hands looks nothing like what it began. Oh, it's got some of the same qualities. It's got some of the same properties, but it's now a usable, functioning tool in the hand of the blacksmith as the goal he had all along is accomplished in that piece of metal. Truth seeker, we are saved instantly. Right? You come to the Lord when He calls your heart and life out and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you recognize your sinfulness and you recognize what you need in a Savior and you call out to Him and He says yes and instantly you're saved. And instantly we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. But we require a whole lifetime of struggle and mistakes, and wilderness, and processing to learn how to live righteously. Did you hear what I said? There's a big difference in righteousness and in learning how to live righteously. A whole lot. You know, I've been saved since I was 6 years old. I'm now 36 years old, so 30 years God has been beating and banging and working on me. The divine blacksmith has had me going through the process for a while. And I can look back over 30 years, truth seekers, and I could tell you some stories about some times in my life, about some wilderness times that Well, I'll say it like this. I needed them. I desperately needed them, but I would not go back and relive those moments of my life for anything. I appreciate what I became because of them, but they were hard and difficult. But if I have anything about me that resembles a part of my life that is being lived righteously now, it's only because God has brought me through those times of struggle and mistakes and wilderness and difficulty, and the blacksmith has brought me up on his anvil and beat and banged on me, and he put me through the high heat and the difficult times, and he's transitioning me and he's changing me. And oh, listen, he ain't finished yet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Because after 30 years, he's still working on me. I don't look like Jesus yet. I'm a lot better off than I was. But it takes time to learn how to live righteously. If you're in a wilderness experience today, if that's you, and you may feel like David or Moses or Elisha, Abraham, if you're in a wilderness experience today, maybe you ought to ask yourself this question, just between you and God in prayer. Maybe you ought to ask, God, what changes are you wanting to make in me? Maybe we got to stop and take a moment to look and see, what is he doing? What is he transitioning me to? And what changes is he making? And maybe the reason this wilderness time is taking as long as it is because we are fighting him every step of the way. You know, the process becomes a lot easier when we learn how to give into the process. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for my Christians and brothers and sisters right now, God, that you would give them a pause in their wilderness moment to be able to step back and to look at what you're doing, to be able to look into their lives and the changes that you are trying to bring about and what you are trying to create and craft and form in them. And I pray that you would give me and my brother and sister right now the wilderness wisdom to be able to look in to see what you're doing. And God, if you can show us the areas you're trying to change, Lord, give us the ability to give into you and say, whatever you want, so be it. Make the changes in me, because this wilderness time is valuable. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Come and join us next time, Truth Seeker. And until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.